Welcome to A Day's Journey podcast, where healing is not just welcome, but embraced with open arms. Join us for heartfelt conversations centered around faith, wellness, and the comforting journey of healing through life's challenges. Here, we understand that self-awareness is one of the most crucial steps on your path to healing. As we often say, you can't heal if you are unaware of yourself. In this nurturing space, we share stories brimming with love, vulnerability, and profound beauty of genuineness and transparency. We firmly believe that true healing begins by addressing the root of the problem. So, dear friends, step in and feel the gentle embrace of our community as we walk together on the path of healing and wholeness. Guided and hosted by myself, Miyoshi Walker, let's embark on this welcome journey of healing together. Let's heal out loud. Hello, and welcome to another day of A Day's Journey podcast. This is the second week of season 5, episode 2. And today's topic is planted. And so let's get into what the Lord has given me. I'm excited to share this word as always, because it's just good to know when, you know, God give you a word and you're able to be obedient. And even though the fear may be there, the uncertainty of the reception of it, but however, the obedience is the most important thing. And so on this journey of the word root that God has given me, I am totally being obedient in all that he had me to do. It is allowed me to be vulnerable in a vulnerable space and place, in sense of doing it sheer out of obedience and not knowing, you know, the outcome. And so with that, I'm satisfied in knowing that as long as I am obedient in what he instructs, I am well within my soul. So let's get into this episode 2 about planted. And so I just want to say a disclaimer that I am sharing based on my own experiences and through the research and the things that have occurred with me. And I'm not a professional. I am just sharing my experiences that assisted me with my healing throughout this part of my life and on my journey, my healing journey. So let's begin the episode. So our bloodline stems back to many generations, though it flows inherited traumas and brokenness and interwoven into one's identity as we are, you know, from children into adulthood. But the thing that I would like to discuss about being planted. I know that we fight so hard to look like we have it all together. And, you know, we subconsciously fight to maintain a status quo, or that we have it all together, or that we're well put together. But really, it's something that's planted and rooted within each of us. And so those things, you know, it's very real, and we can have a lasting change, but it can't come without us, you and I, wanting to navigate and to, you know, prune through those chaos of those patterns that interlies with us, that allow and create those coping mechanisms. And I know I've dealt with them all. And so with that, you know, things were unresolved. Issues came up throughout my life in terms of not knowing how or what to do with instances, or when things would trigger me or things would take place. And so with those things that have taken place through those generational bloodline, and when I begin to pray and think about on those things, I ask God to lead and guide me in every aspect of this topic of being rooted and what he exactly mean, because that can go in so many various ways. And so the word that I came across was the intergenerational trauma. And that's the trauma that you and I feel, but it's as if it didn't happen to us personally, but it can come from one or more of our ancestors. And so with these experiences, they get passed down through memory, by them sharing memories, by them, you know, saying or displaying different things. And so most likely those things come from that intergenerational trauma that goes on from generation to generation. And one thing that I do want to put a note in is stating that, you know, as I'm studying and when I was thinking about it months ago, that came upon me is that, you know, just like a mother carrying a child and those emotions and those feelings, strongholds and things that she may experience, you know, those are passed on to that child that's inside of her. And so we have to be very mindful to be mindful of our mind work and those things that, you know, realizing that things can be intergenerational and passed on to our children even before they are birthed out. So that was just, you know, perplexed to me of knowing and not really realizing and thinking those things. And so as I realized that, I did begin to denounce and to pray for God to remove those things or those strongholds that I may have passed down to my children of those unresolved issues or traumas that I dealt with and didn't know what they were, you know, per se. And so just as, for example, just as when you start a home renovation, you know, things get worse before it gets better. And so with emotional healing, it's can be similarly messy, but however, with those messy emotions that you and I may have suppressed over the years, you know, we can break free from those things and being expressed, you know, when we're expressing or when, you know, those things come about and when it's inappropriately done, you know, sometimes it's because you're new to this. I never forget that times in my transition of becoming who I was when God was stripping me of those things and those traumas. And during my healing process, I never forget that, you know, it was one point of, you know, even my husband, my children or friends, they were like, I don't know who you are, but I was trying to find a balance of continuing to be Miyoshi, but still evolve into what God was having me to evolve into in that healing process and letting you know, certain things go. And so in the midst of that, anger would come, lashing out would come. And then it was like, okay, well, who are you? Because you are not acting yourself. So I had to know that I had to work and navigate through those messy emotions that I suppressed for years and that I was breaking free from them. And so I inappropriately expressed myself at times, not intentional, but just not knowing how to fully express myself. And so with it being messy sometimes in your healing, you know, you have to realize and that we gain new realizations and we find that we have to do life differently from that point on because those things that we are familiar with, those are changing. We are becoming better. We are evolving. We are, you know, letting go and denouncing different things that, you know, have occurred within our life. And so it's messy because, you know, it's how we are correcting on how to operate in our lives and in our relationships. We're knocking down walls that's, you know, that can cause anxiety or, you know, different things that we can, you know, pray away and go to professional or receive personal assistance through that and how to navigate through that. Because, you know, we don't have to stay within that because, you know, it's things throughout the Bible that individuals dealt with anxiety and depression and, you know, alcoholism and all those things that we may have deal with these days. It's in there, whether it was somebody, you know, within the Bible that God utilized and shown that, hey, if you trust me and if you trust in me, I can provide what you need, whether it be a word from him, through him, or by a way of those that, you know, have sought out those positions to help, you know, other individuals such as the professional therapist, psychotherapist, counselors, and such. So I've learned on this journey, the first step to healing is to have authority and the autonomy over my wounds, as I mentioned last week. And so to gain that autonomy is to have that independence and freedom from the action or my action of how I respond to it. So it means that you're just going to govern your own life and that you're going to endorse your actions and you're going to do the things that you consider to your behavior that reflect your choice. So to do that, you know, I'm going to encourage you to pray and ask God and ask the Holy Spirit to show you how to do that. Allow the individuals that's supposed to be in your life, whether it is a professional individual, to help you navigate through those things. And so the first topic of the being planted, I want to speak about the seed of Christ. And so in 1 John 3:9, it says, no one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. So the seed of Christ is planted in us. And if the seed of God is planted in us and we are to become more like his image and, you know, and perfect, he's perfecting those things in us. You know, if we are born of God and we continue to sin, you know, we will stay in sin and we cannot become, you know, all of who God created us to be. And with this scripture, it says, because God's seed remains in them, they cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. So if we've born of God, born again, and have done these things, we are forgiven. But however, God desired for us to, you know, be able to share and help other people in terms of testifying and a testimony in some type of way. And he will, the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you and show you how you need to share it and when you need to share it. And so with the seed of Christ, you know, we might ask, how do I find or fix the root of it? Again, I know it can be messy. Healing can be messy. You know, messy has a fair amount of shame attached to it. And many of us learn early on from family the importance of, as I stated, looking presentable, and that it's not okay to be angry. You know, stop crying is what you're told, you know, even if you got a pop pinch or whatever it may be. And so, you know, that was limiting the lack of expressing ourselves. I know for me it was considered disrespectful to, you know, say, you know, I really didn't like how, you know, the action was given. And so it was like, you know, you had to stay in a child's place. You couldn't express yourself, even if you felt like, you know, I have something to say, even if it wasn't disrespectful in the tone or deliverance, it just was considered disrespectful when how I was raised. And so I know I experienced this and I was taught this, you know, you just look the part, you look presentable, you know, you, it's not okay to be angry, you know, pull yourself together and stop crying. So with that, so withdrawal come next. Lots of us withdraw because we're afraid that we can't handle or people can handle our level of messy. And many times that's true, but that's not my or our decision to make on their behalf in terms of what they think that, you know, you can handle. You know, our messy is emotional. You know, it doesn't always need a witness, but, you know, if we are rejected about, you know, how we're going to handle it or what's to be true of our lives or situations that has happened, you know, you may be rejected. You may lose, you know, some things or lose, you know, sometimes it can be healthy, sometimes it can not, sometimes it's beneficial, sometimes it's not. But however, with the result, with the withdrawals and seeing, you know, who will stand with you during this enormous healing process, because when life has given you instances of not feeling secure or feeling as if you're not important or you're not worthy, you know, that's enormous to heal from that. And even though you know you are, but those things that are embedded in you can play a factor or a role. So even though some people may walk away, you know, it's not the end result at all times. Sometimes, you know, you guys or individuals can reconcile. I've, you know, prayed and been through situations where God has, you know, made it a way or available to where, you know, you can reconnect, but it's on a different level, or it may just not be time yet to, you know, reconcile. Just depending on your situation, your, you know, what God has for you to do, how he needs to heal you, and what is the process of that. And what may be a long time to us is not a long time to God. So I had to realize that. And so I've had many people take advantage of, you know, of that in terms of, you know, telling or imposing their idea of when and how I had to respond to something or how I had to reconcile something. And so I just learned to pray and trust the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I know throughout times that I've had supporters in terms of prayer or just encouragement and unbiased, you know, direction or input of in terms of what they may have known about the situation. So also, I don't want you to just set your expectation that healing is always messy, because it isn't. And just understanding our emotions is the best way forward for our health and for our relationships and for our future. So how do you let go of anger depends on a few different factors. And with that is up to the individual, how they receive help, up to the individual on their vulnerability, up to the individual on how they choose to navigate through that, because everyone is different. Everyone heal different. And so we have to know that it's just certain things that has taken place and taken shape in our lives that sometimes while, you know, we have certain emotions or reactions to certain things. I know that, you know, I do know for a fact that if you have, everybody has been a child, or if you have a child, children need to feel secure and love and not receive the broken promises or have that betrayal. But when you don't have that secure love, it can have its lasting effects, but it's not impossible to heal. But it's all amongst of what you are willing to, you know, let go and to show grace to. Because if God can show us grace to even to any of our worst sins, who are we not to forgive? And, you know, for me, I say, who am I not to forgive and give God a chance to heal my heart in that area or in that space? So I learned that my anger came from self-rejection and abandonment. And so let's define self-rejection. So it often go back to early childhood again with an emotionally abusive, whether it was intended or not intended, parent or individual or other close figure that, you know, you didn't get approval from. And so with that, that's not saying that, you know, the parent or the individual was just mean, but maybe they just didn't know how to express it or show it. The abandonment, I realized, you know, a while ago that I dealt with abandonment, because let's define abandonment. It says that abandonment refers to the intense emotional response and related behaviors that being neglected emotionally or physically can have you that can have you on regardless of your age. So abandonment is just the anxiety of, you know, people you were close to leaving you, And it results from experiencing, you know, types of abandonment that you may have experienced in your childhood or throughout your life, because it can happen in during your childhood or adulthood. And it just may be related to instances that when you feel neglected, threatened, or left behind, you know, you are triggered in some type of way of not knowing the next or what will happen. You feel alone and, you know, so there you are, feeling abandoned. And so for me, those two things, you know, played a role in my life, you know, with the self-rejection going back to my early childhood, you know, realizing that, you know, when I got fussed at, it was not nice, you know, and just being, you know, an only child and not really, you know, talkative. I was super quiet. I was shy. And so, and to have those things to happen, or individuals, family, or my mom or dad or whomever it was to, you know, try to do things right to get their approval and rejected by the actions of their words or their display, you know, was disheartening for a, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old, 9-year-old that's not really understanding life fully. So for me, I dealt with that. And then the abandonment issue, was just, you know, realizing that I didn't come from a two-parent household. However, both of my parents were in my life. But however, you know, mainly remember early part of my life that my grandmother, my mom's mom, you know, raised me. I was with her every day, you know, and I did things with her, but my mom was in the household. But I just remember, you know, just the in and out of leaving, going there, you know, at times, but and just feeling like, you know, I didn't see my dad often, but I did, but I didn't, you know? And so I knew it wasn't during the week. So I didn't understand the correlation of, okay, you know, you living in a single parent home, but both your parents are, you know, in your life. So to try to comprehend that as a child, it was very confusing to me. And so with that, I dealt with the self-rejection and abandonment, but also with that emotional abandonment, because I was left with my own thoughts. I was left to try to figure it out. I was left with no understanding. You know, it did play or have a great impact on me growing up, because it was almost like I was emotionally detached to what is and what isn't. And so I had to know that I dealt with those things, self-rejection, abandonment, and emotional abandonment. And then I didn't really learn that until, you know, my adulthood, when I began to cry out to God and just start asking him how to help me navigate through it. And then when I saw that some of those components and some of those things that I was doing, I was imposing onto my children. And then in my adulthood and in my marriage, my husband and I decided to have family meetings. And I'll never forget one time, you know, we always allow our children to express themselves in family meetings. And so therefore, it was at one particular family meeting, you know, my children was like, well, mom, we don't like when you get mad at someone else or something, you take it out on us. And that was the moment that it hit me. It hit me that, okay, I've seen this before. I don't like it and I need to change it. And from that day forward, I prayed for God to help me navigate through that. And he did provide the resources, the counseling, all of that for me in order to, you know, heal and not display that to my children. And so we have to, you know, be cognizant of realizing some things that, you know, was imposed on us as children that we can carry it on, because it's definitely embedded in us. And that's what's familiar. And those are the things that, again, as I spoke about at the beginning, how that intergenerational trauma can, you know, go on from generation to generation if it's not, you know, handled or denounced or, you know, addressed. So let's move on to, let's label it as it is. And so with that, with this topic, label it as it is. When something is planted, you know, you can spend years watering something, but it will take time for, you know, for the roots to form and for the roots to come up. So God is not surprised that it will take some time. So we have to learn to celebrate the progress and continue to do the deep work with Jesus or a professional, or with Jesus plus the professional. And we know new things are growing when it's something is watered. So when you water and nourish your soul and nourish those thoughts and nourish those behaviors of, you know, how and what do I need to continue to water? What do I need to prune? And so when we're labeling as it is, that means that is it dysfunction? Say that. Is it abandonment? Say that. Is it strongholds? Say that. You know, because we tend to want to, you know, suppress those things and say it's not. And then we battle with those thoughts within our minds. And so I'm telling you of my experiences. And so I'm speaking it in this sense. But however, we have to call those things and label those things as it is. And so in 2 Corinthians 10:4, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." And so when we know that the weapons of our warfare are of the flesh, but we have divine power to destroy strongholds, that says something. We have the power and authority to destroy strongholds because we are battling with our flesh spiritually. We are at a spiritual warfare. And so, and it's mentioned in the Bible how we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but the principalities. And so, you know, why would the enemy want us to heal? Why would the enemy want us to become better and whole? Because he wants to keep us in a place of where that dysfunction stay, that abandonment thoughts, those strongholds take place. And so he want that to continue to go on generation. He want to, you know, try to destroy us with it and have those thoughts in our mind by saying, "I told you God was going to leave you, abandon you. I knew you should have known it wasn't going to happen. You're not good enough for this," or whatever thoughts that he put in your mind. And so when we're healing, it does involve other people, and the details can be complicated because the layers can be endless. And so I had to realize, you know what, this started before my mom's mom. You know, it started before my dad's dad or his mom. And so I know that the layers can be endless. And I know it just didn't start with my parents. And so when you know that your timeline is with the Holy Spirit, it may not be your timeline, but it's okay. But you and I can still walk out in freedom and wholeness. Even if the other individual is not ready to accept it, it's fine. So when you need clarity and healing, pray. Pray is the most powerful weapon and tool that we have, because at the end of the day, the Holy Spirit can guide us on who, what, when, where, and how we need to do those things that we need for our healing individually. So when healing is needed, it's because of someone else's bad decision or due to our own lack of wisdom, and that bitterness and that shame or that fear try to take root. That's when, you know, we have to seek on how to, you know, to navigate through that and to help us with those emotions and those feelings. So that's where it's important where that prayer come in. So if you need professional help or myself needed professional help, that's what that is. And along with praying and asking God to help navigate and make the decisions on the who, what, when, where, and how. And so when the healing is needed because someone else's bad decision or because our own lack of wisdom as we get older, you know, we shouldn't hold ourselves in a space of not showing ourselves grace. And so I've seen many ways of how to do with that, but I ask God to help me how I need to navigate to heal them. And Isaiah 55:18-19 says, "I have seen their way, but I will heal them. I will guide them and reward them with comfort. For those who mourn, I will create reason or praise, utter prosperity to those far and near, and I will heal them," says the Lord. Isaiah 55:18-19. So we have to know that God, he says, "I will heal them." He have healed many people in the Bible by a word, by a touch, or by someone touching him, or just by a belief of somebody believing. And so we have to know that we have to create a reason of praise, because we have to trust that he's going to do it in his timing. And so I like the last part. He said, "And I will heal them, says the Lord." And so I believe that no matter what we go through or experience, we can be healed. And it's all about faith and faith in him, because I don't want to just perceive if he healed me in one area, oh, that was easy, but this other area is too hard and I'll never get over it. For me, I don't have that perspective of God that way. I believe he can do exceedingly abundantly above of what I can imagine that he can do, because he's able to do anything that my mind can fathom. So, and I know he can do it for you as well. And so when we choose to pursue healing, whatever it requires for you to become whole, invite vulnerability and have humility to be your daily guide and compassion, and keep showing up to every day. Keep showing up every day and ask for God to help you to pursue that healing of what you desire, what he desires, because God put the desires upon our heart anyway. And so Jesus is our ultimate comforter. We know that he's a restorer. He's a mender. He's a redeemer, and he can do all of those things. And Jeremiah 17:7-8 says, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a planted tree by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. But it's not fear. It does not fear when he comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worry in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." That's one of my favorite scriptures, because no matter what, this scripture has a lot in it. And it says, "But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord and whose confidence is in him." And when you have confidence in the Lord and knowing that if you're planted in him, he said, "I will send the roots out by the stream." So I'm just imagining having this tree that's planted by the water, and those roots go out by the stream to be watered because it's thirsty. It needs to grow. It's in the right environment in order to, you know, thrive and flourish the way it needs to. And then it says, "Do not fear when he come, and when its leaves are always green," because it's being nourished and flourished the way that it needs to. And it has no worries in a year of drought, because and it never fails to bear fruit. So to know that, knowing that I don't have to worry about when drought comes or lean years or lean months come, and the fruit that bears by it is like no other. So Jeremiah 17:7-8 is, you know, knowing that God can do what he needs to do if we put our trust and confidence in him. And so, not to downplay what happened, again, it is your experience, your healing, your trauma, your strongholds, your memories. It's your healing. So your feelings are valid. So be completely honest with yourself through this navigation of healing of those rooted things that are within you. Because remember, in this part that I'm speaking about, is label it as it is. Is it dysfunction? Is it abandonment? Is it strongholds? Is it depression? Whatever it is, you have to know that, you know, it can be complicated and have endless layers, but however, we have to be completely honest with ourselves. And with our dependence, it builds intimacy that has that trust in Jesus. So trust secures that peace that comes from God. So I know for years, I saw my childhood through rose-colored glasses before I gave myself the permission to take those glasses off and to see things for what they really were. Because for me, those deep-rooted issues that were embedded within me that I assumed was normal, it wasn't. And so I had to take off those glasses, because even though, you know, we're told what goes on this house, stay in this house, or things that happen, you know, we just have to accept and take it. I did not want that to go to another generation. And now I begin to say, as I started having grandchildren, Miyoshi, no, this is not going to go on to another generation. And so I begin to address those things that I pray to the Holy Spirit to bring to my heart and my mind, whether it be with me or whether it be with my husband, since my children has both DNAs within their body. And so I begin to pray for those strongholds and those things, those deep rooted issues that was embedded in me, to be healed, to be removed, to denounce them in the name of Jesus. Because at the end of the day, we want to, you know, have lives that reflect Jesus. That don't mean that trouble won't come or issues won't happen, but I want that foundation of faith, of knowing that no matter what, I can heal through this. I can have faith and trust God. I can do what I need to do in order to become whole and become better, to be rooted in Him and uproot those things that are not of God and that keep me in bondage, or those strongholds that keep me downriding. And so, you know, just to mention, you know, I didn't have a horrible childhood, but my needs were met. I had memorable, fun experiences, but those deep-rooted parts took precedence over those at times, because when I'm sitting in silence or I'm going through things and shut down, didn't know how to communicate, or I felt like I couldn't express myself because it was disrespectful or deemed to be disrespectful, or just, having issues and pretending like they didn't happen and going with life and showing love, that was not how I want to live. I asked God to allow me to uproot those things, because I don't want to live through life. I didn't want my children and now grandchildren to live or experience those things and think that's the way of life, to live a healthy, whole, and faithful life to God. So it's important to recognize the positive as well as the negative. And I know there are many, many things about my childhood that were really great. But however, I have to realize those deep rooted parts that took place and that, you know, had me in a space or a place at one point in time of my life. I had to really, you know, it was some really hard, deep rooted work I had to do. And I just never forget the moments when God brought all those things to the forefront. It was hard to navigate through, but however, I made it through and I allowed Him to heal me. And I had to surrender and I had to become vulnerable and I had to show humility even when I was wrong with the things that I lacked in doing. So I had some really hard trials that I had to go through. In my childhood that I remember, because I was quiet, I was shy, I stayed to myself. I didn't express my thoughts because I was told a child is to be seen and not heard concept. I assumed that I wasn't allowed to complain about anything because I was like, oh my God, you know, they going through something. They are arguing. They are fighting. They are, you know, experiencing these things that at the time what I can comprehend. So I would just stay quiet. And I would stay to myself. So I didn't express my thoughts. So throughout my childhood, living with my mom, my grandmother, and during the days and weekends, but I visited my dad and my dad's parents, which is my grandparents. Reflecting back, my young teenage parents was incapable of being the mother and father I needed as a younger self to be parents to me. They wasn't given or displayed the proper tools to do so, but they did the best that they could. And so I began to acknowledge this because I was like, well, how could they do this? Or why did they do this? Or how, you know, all these things. But thinking back, I had to acknowledge that and it's okay. And so over time, I realized that it really did affect me and have a very taxing, difficult way throughout my life of things that affected me of not realizing that. But God kept me in so many ways, because He allowed family support. He allowed both of my parents to be present in my life. I had the necessities of life and I began to get to know God at the age of 9, to name a few. So those roots, we cannot be in denial. And so not acknowledging that we have rooted issues will not help. In fact, it prolongs the true healing and it eventually make things worse, which can lead to unhealthy impulses and actions. You know how I was saying, you know, I used to lash out or just get angry. I wouldn't express myself. You know, that can lead to unhealthy patterns. And then those patterns are imposed onto our children. And I was like, no, I don't want that, when I realized it. So let's start at the beginning of my life. I was a young girl born in Oakland, California in 1976. I was born to two young parents, 16 and 19. My mom was 16. My dad was 19 years old. Both parents, I believe, for me, from what I'm seeing and hearing family history, came from impractical families, you know, which also can mean, you know, have some dysfunction or dysfunctional families that are chaotic, you know, conflict driven, can be abusive, can be emotionally neglective and, you know, overprotective, you know. And so those were some of the things that I experienced. And so, you know, my dad, you know, his parents was married. He come from a two parent household, love, but dysfunctional, supportive, but abandoned in areas. My mom, her parents was married, but she had a one parent home where her mom was there majority of the time. Her dad, you know, was there, but they had what I come to learn was family estrangement, meaning her mom was always present, but her dad would come and go. So it was a broken family dynamic. And so with that, you know, there were several types of dysfunction that I've learned that I experienced. And that's because they experienced it, whether it was conflict. And that means that, you know, conflict between family or their parents or the parents and children or siblings. And then, you know, you had addictions, whether it was alcohol, gambling, work, or being perfect, or that abuse and neglect, whether it was physical or mental, or, you know, abuse or emotional abuse or neglect or domestic violence or sexual abuse or whatever that is, or the mental disorders that, you know, things that we know that probably was there, but we didn't want to talk about, whether it was bipolar, depression, or whatever those things was. And then that abandonment, that parent abandoning the family. Because I always say, you know, even if a person, this is my perspective, you guys. So even if a person grew up in a single family home and or a two parent home, one parent is not as, you know, involved. So that still can mean, you know, a parent is abandoning the family, not meaning just because they're outside of the family or they left the family, that's abandonment. But abandonment can list so many things. So with that, those dysfunctions were there. And so with the family estrangement, you know, with my mom per se, or even my dad, because, you know, his dad worked all the time and, you know, his mom was at home with the children and, you know, with the family, and vice versa with my mom's mom. And so they always had their mom present, but maybe their dad would, you know, just come and go. And so it was a different family dynamic. So with that, you know, with the broken family, one includes like having unhealthy or several, you know, family units. So however, I began to understand this and over time that my parents and their parents were doing the best that they were taught and only could provide what was given to them. So my childhood, I remember experience being loved and cared for with food, shelter, and other needs met in a safe environment, you know, at times, or I could have been in danger, but not knowing it. Cause back then, you know, you live life and you live to fight another day. But however, it was probably some moments where the environment wasn't safe. And so I had those family members' support. I do remember that, and knowing that, you know, I had the necessities of life. But, you know, for the mental component or the supportive component, I feel like that was lacked and it wasn't there. And so I remember, you know, I felt somewhat neglected in terms of emotional support, because I didn't know how to put things in words or express myself. Because remember, I was raised, you know, it's the child place to be seen and not heard. And so it was times that I felt lonely and out of place, you know, because I was an only child. I wasn't able to express myself fully because it was deemed to be disrespectful. Or even if I wanted to talk, maybe they was busy at times, or just not knowing how to fully express myself. So I remember, you know, growing up, you know, the dysfunction that was within the families, and it left me feeling alone at times because adults sometimes will get physical or just go their separate ways, and I didn't see any communication or just together. I just felt like they just came back together. But in those moments, in a cycle of my thoughts, I wonder what would happen to me. So that's how that abandonment came, or, you know, that self-seclusion. And I began to see those things that were hurting, that caused pain and anger within them. So I just kept quiet. I kept my thoughts and my words to myself. I pretty much, you know, just kept to myself most of my early of my childhood. You know, I could see things and want to express things. I can want, you know, something is said to me and I want to, you know, respond back. But I understood this, that what was taking shape in place by studying the word root. And that's how, you know, the roots are. I became, or didn't want to be in denial about it any longer. And I wanted to heal. I didn't want to be like that. I did not want to impose that, you know, onto my children, and even more so to my grandchildren. So I said, I owe it to myself. I owe it to my family. I owe it to my bloodline to, you know, be that cycle breaker of, you know, healing from those things. And sometimes you have to, you know, become secluded. You will be lonely. You will be frustrated. You're trying to still live life and navigate through it. You're trying to handle all of these things. But however, you know, to understand by studying the word root, the root system of a tree is created to seek out water. So it sends out its roots by the stream, as the verse was saying, so, or as the imagery will give. So the word sends out also means to shoot forth or to stretch out, extend, and direct. So the Lord would take the difficulties, disappointments, grief, and illness in our lives if we let him. He will cause our root system to stretch, extend, and to go deeper in him. Because when we're in Christ, we're connected to the source of the living water. So let me tell you my why. So I began to thirst for Jesus in a different way, to know him personally and intimately. It was in my early 20s. I wanted to be transformed to a new mind, or with a new mind, into a new person. And one verse I want to read is Romans 12, 2 through 3, before I go into it. So my why. And then, so Romans 12, 2 through 3 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his will, pleasing and perfect will. Verse 3, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. So the Holy Spirit renews our minds day by day. And with that, I wanted to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, allowing God to do that. I had to relinquish control. I had to become vulnerable. I had to, you know, be lonely. I had to allow God to lead me. I had to surrender myself, my heart, my thoughts, my mind, my whole being to him in order to become healed. So I desire to heal. I longed for something, you know, early on and throughout my life, but I didn't know that I needed to be healed in the way that God began to heal me. I knew I desired something more, something bigger. I know I desire so much more. I was yearning for confirmation that everything will be okay. And most of all, am I being obedient to you, God? I want to know if I'm operating my purpose. I will always ask God, I just want to do my purpose and the purpose that you have given me. So Jesus met me and confirmed throughout the years in some type of way that it will be okay. And he continuously told me to trust him. And I had to continue this surrender and this obedience. And it was like this dance of all these occurrences that happened, but it allowed my faith to grow. It allowed me to, you know, to trust totally in him. I had to become very vulnerable in order to be obedient and to surrender myself to him. So as a child, I possessed a unique sensitivity that allowed me to understand emotions and the aura of people around me at an early age. And at moments in my life, I began to sense the spirit of others through that I didn't fully comprehend what it was at the time. You know, I'll feel a certain way around certain people. I didn't, you know, but I learned later in my adulthood and through relationship that was discernment, spiritual discernment. And so I began to understand that that of my parents and those I was surrounded by, of those broken things or those hurts and pains, and I would sense that upon them. So I would desire to be in a different environment that wasn't toxic, or I didn't want to be that in an environment that was toxic or not genuine, or where a person couldn't be transparent. And it was like my eyes was wide open to different things, and you know, to the point where God was allowing me as well as others to acknowledge, you know, just things that needed to be done or fixed. And I know that I started asking God to fix me and to show me, because, you know, it's one thing when you're trying to heal and you're trying to change and you keep having faults at a person or persons and you're not acknowledging your part that you play in it. And so I began to ask God to fix me and how my vision needs to be fixed, how my heart needs to be fixed, my mindset needs to be fixed. And so he began to work on how to fix it and what we can fix. So we're given specific directions so that we can prosper, even though some may be difficult. But the Lord does not want the circumstances that surround us to affect or hinder us or our perception of his goodness. He wants us to experience prosperity, the fruitfulness, and in the midst of drought. He wants us to trust him in faith and have that mustard seed of faith. Prosperity can come in many ways, and it's not always financial. And I thank God for that, because I'd rather have those things at most times than financially. However, we know that we need finances to operate, but however, to have peace, to have healing, to be whole, to be able to share God's word, to be genuine and authentic, I will take those things over financial any day, because I know that the blessings will come anyway. So it may come as a God-given insight, those prosperity things. It may come as a God-given insight or a creative idea or that wisdom that will eventually bring a great abundance to us personally and corporately. So as we remain in God, according to John 15, we will bear much fruit. So I remember at 9 years old at a church in Mississippi, I discovered Jesus. And that's when I welcomed him into my heart and received him into my heart, and I became saved. And I knew at 9 years old, something was different. And I knew, you know, I changed in some type of way, but I didn't understand it and comprehend it wholeheartedly at the age of 9. But I remember accepting Jesus in my heart and believing that he died and rose on the third day. So I grew up going to church. However, I didn't fully understand it. And I heard preachers and my family speak of God, but I didn't know him on a personal level. I knew him personally in my early 20s. And as mentioned, that's when my life began to pivot, my relationship with God. And that's what truly have made an impact on my healing journey. And so I'm going to stop here. I'm going to do part 2 on next week, finishing the topic of being planted. And so many blessings to you. I have an exercise for you, and I will do it myself as well. And if you do see certain behaviors coming out of your own life or parenting, I want you to try these things. First, I want you to make a list of the things you want to change. Next, I want you to write to each behavior the way you would like to behave or feel instead. The third thing I would like for you to do is prioritize the list if you want to, and then choose the behavior to start with. And then the fourth thing is to practice your desired behavior in place of the one you want to change. And then it'll be ongoing. So once you feel you master one behavior, you can move your way down to the list and attack the others. And so we're going to do this exercise together. I would like for you to affirm any of these 10 affirmations or make your own 3 or more times a day. Say them throughout your day. Say them out loud, or you can say them mentally as well. The first affirmation, as I forgive myself, it will become easier to forgive others. I acknowledge my faults and forgive myself completely. I will trust the process. I forgive everyone in my past for all perceived wrongs and release them into love. My mind is set free. I am free to be me. I am capable of loving all of who I am. I am loved. Today, I will make a moment for meditation and prayer. My future is better than I can imagine. And the 10th affirmation is, today I ask God to heal me. Let go of the need to be afraid. Affirm yourself or make your own 3 times a day and say them throughout your day. Here are a few resources. Please purchase the Heal Out Loud Grief Journal by Miyoshi Walker, where you can find on Amazon.com. Also, please leave a review once you have ordered it and received it. Also, please listen to A Day's Journey podcast on Apple and Spotify or your podcast platform of choice. But remember, please leave a review and share. Are you looking for a safe outlet to write your emotions and thoughts down, whether it's daily, instantly, or ongoing? If so, the Heal Out Loud Grief Journal is exactly what you need. I invite you to purchase this journal on Amazon with dozens of others that have found this beneficial to their healing. This journal can be a beneficial tool to assist you in your healing journey. Interested in working with Miyoshi? Send requests to adaysjourneypodcast@gmail.com to inquire information. I'm going to share my stories, my journey on healing, the deep-rooted things that are rooted, those things that are issues or traumas. These things show up in our lives daily, and it's time for them to be uprooted and for us to become rooted in Christ. I hope that you can join me every week. Let's begin our journey of flourishing, living, and becoming rooted in Christ. So make sure you tune in every Tuesday by 4 p.m. to listen to season 5 of A Day's Journey podcast. Don't forget to set those reminders, share, and leave a review.